Let's turn to the portion of Scripture that we read today, the 13th chapter of the book of Zechariah. I am speaking on the subject, making the impossible possible. And that, of course, is a signal of what a revival of true religion does. It makes the impossible possible. I had a strange happening last night. About 2 o'clock this morning, I awoke. And this 13th chapter of Zechariah came to my mind. So, of course, I lit up the light. I took up my Bible, which lies at the side of my bed, and I read this chapter. And God impressed it upon me because this chapter illustrates how God makes the impossible possible. There are three things about this chapter easily seen. First of all, there is the open fountain. In that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for all uncleanness. The opened fountain. But then when we come down the chapter, we have the opened figure. The Lord Jesus Christ with His wounds. The Lord Jesus Christ with His death marks. The Lord Jesus Christ with His awful, cruel dying. And we have the opened figure. And then when we come down to the last verse, we have the opened fire. And the fire comes down. I will bring the third part through the fire and refine them as silver is refined. And the Lord said to me, that's your message. But I said, Lord, I have another message. Who do you work for? The Lord said, yourself or me? I said, certainly you, Lord. Well, that's the portion of Scripture. It burned its way into my heart in the early hours of this morning. Let's look then at the opened fountain. In that day, there shall be opened in the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and all uncleanness. Sin is a violation of God's commandments. There are 10 of God's commandments. To violate any one of them brings about sin. Sin is a breaking of God's law. We live in an atmosphere of sin. We live when the majority of speech that we hear is stained with sin. The whole program of this century is sin. But God can out of the impossible do the possible. And so God opens a fountain to deal with sin. And then we have here the uncleanness. Uncleanness comes about according to the Old Testament, by people turning from God's ways of worship to the ways of the world. And God calls idolatry uncleanness. He calls anything that is not certified by His commandments in the place of worship as uncleanness. But this fountain is opened in the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for all uncleanness. And then when you come down to verse 2, you'll find God's slaughter of the idols of the land. And God's going to take judgment upon the idols. There's many idols need to be broken. Idols in the homes. Idols in the hearts of the people of God. Idols in their conversation. And in their works. And in their follies. Idols. The idols must go. And God says He will put them out that they will be remembered no more. That's what happens when God moves in revival. The very things that are dear and near to the hearts of sinbreakers, of lawbreakers, and bring sin and uncleanness, God's going to clean them out that they'll not even be remembered. That's some miracle. Think of this land cleaned out so clean that you'll not remember the apostates that were in it and the apostate living. You say that's a colossal thing. Of course it is. That's what I said as I sat in the side of my bed last night. I said, that's a wonderful thing. You're going to wipe them out completely. Every old, half-damned apostate, he will have his mouth shut. His false teeth will be broken, and he'll be forgotten. Out of mind and out of sight. Hallelujah! That's what God can do. And that's what God did in the great 1859 revival when Unitarianism was fighting its battle to take over the Irish Presbyterian Church. When Montgomery, the great leader of Arianism and Unitarianism, was going up and down the country abusing those that stood for the old ways and asked for the old ways. But God came. And if you talked to a person today and said, do you know who Dr. Montgomery was? They would look at you. If you asked them, did they know who Henry Cook was? They would say, yes, the black man down in the center of the town. It happens, you know, in revival. This is not something written in the Old Testament centuries before Christ came and then is forgotten. God can put these things out of the memory of man. Look at it again. I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. What an exodus! God drives out the apostates and the unclean things. Only God can do it. Only God can do that. Only the mighty, overpowering Spirit can do that. And then we find that the families from which these apostates came, that their very parents shall deal in the work of annihilating in their own homes and from their own families, false prophets. Here is a family here, and it says his father and mother that begat him shall say to him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. It'll not be some stranger that'll come and placard him. It will be his own family who will shut his mouth and silence him for not preaching and standing for the truth. And these apostates, verse 4, they will be ashamed of what they did, because they wore the rough garment of the prophet to deceive. But now what they're saying, I'm not a prophet. I'm not a prophet. I am no prophet. I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. They were prepared to conceal themselves as members of the Ulster Farmers Union. Think of it. I tell you, friend, this is a great chapter, and it's a great chapter about what God can do. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. I picked up an old hymn book this morning, and I read the words of a hymn written by a man who was a tremendous hymn writer, J. Hart. He said, the fountain of Christ assists me to sing. The blood of our priest, our crucified King, with perfect, which perfectly cleanseth from sin and from filth, and richly dispenses salvation and health. This fountain from guilt not only makes pure, but gives soon as felt infallible cure. And if guilt removed, return and remain, its power may be proved again and again. This fountain unsealed stands open for all that long to be healed, the great and the small. Here's strength for the weakly that hither are led. Here's health for the sickly. Here's life for the dead. This fountain, though rich, from charge is quite clear. The poorer the wretch, the welcomer here. Come needy, come guilty, come loathsome and bare. You can't come too filthy. Come just as you are. This fountain is vain. In vain has never been tried. It takes out all stain whenever applied. The water flows sweetly with virtue divine to cleanse souls completely, though leprous as mine. What a fountain this is. The fountain open. Look at verse 1 again. In that day shall be there a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. But let's turn to the second thought in this, the opened figure. And it says here, the answer to the question to Christ, what are these wounds in thine hands? And he shall answer, those with which I was wounded. in the house of my friends. The bodily wounds of Jesus were done by a so-called friend. But there was a greater opening of the body of Christ, and it was by a sword. Look at verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. The opened figure, wounded for our iniquities, bruised for our sins. What a Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have His wounding among His friends. They all forsook him and fled. How many years did you run away from the cross? Flee away from Christ? Turn your back upon him? He sought you in youth and you didn't come to him. He sought you when you were older and you didn't come. And many years passed before you were found one day, saying, who gave you, Lord Jesus, these wounds? And he said, you did it. It was you, my sins, my cruel sins, his chief tormentors were. All my crimes became those nails, and all my sins the spear. Who gave you those wounds, Lord Jesus? But thank God, we can say that God the Father gave him the wounds that would remove from our hearts all sin and all wickedness. O love divine, what hast thou done? The Lord of life hath died for me. The Father's co-eternal Son bore all my sins upon that tree. Emmanuel for me hath died. My Lord, my love is crucified. Ye mourning sinners passing by, behold the Prince of life and peace. Come see ye worms, your Savior die, and say, was ever grief like his? There never was grief like the grief of Jesus. Now, from the garden to the cross, let us attend the Lamb of God. Be all things else accounted dross, compared with the shedding of the sin-atoning blood. With thorns his temples gored and gashed, send streams of blood from every part, his back with knotted scourges lashed, but sharper scourges tear his heart. Nailed naked to the accursed wood, exposed to earth and heaven above, a spectacle of wounds and blood, a prodigy of injured love. Ye that assume his sacred name, now tell me, what could all this mean? What was it bruised God's harmless lamb? What was it pierced his soul? It was sin. Blush, Christian, blush. let shame abound. If sin affects thee not with woe, whatever spirit be in thee found, the Spirit of Christ thou dost not know. Oh, the bleeding Lamb. Oh, the bleeding Lamb. Oh, the bleeding Lamb. He was found worthy, the opened figure. But finally, and lastly, there is the opened fire. I was struck with the fact that for the first time that I ever noticed it, I get a hint of the number of people that will be in heaven. 2/3 destroyed, 1/3 completely cleansed by the power of the Savior's blood. And I will bring the third part through the fire. I will refine them as silver and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. What a text that is. What a text. And I'm glad there was an open fire. And I went into that fire in all my muck, in all my sin, in all my wickedness, in all my anti-Godism and anti-Christism. But I was refined like silver. I went in to that fire, and I was tried as gold is tried. And God said, what did he say? I will bring them through the fire. Some through the fire, some through the flood, some through great trials. God leads his dear children along. This is the impossible made possible. And someday I will stand in sinless perfection, and you'll not find a mark of sin upon me on the heavenly land. Who are these in white robes, and whence came they? They are those that washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There is no whiteness compared to the whiteness of God's forgiveness. I trust that today it will be said of us what was said of these people: the Lord is my God. I gladly today and publicly say, the Lord is my God. He makes the impossible possible. And if he does that for one soul, he can do it for 100. If he does that for 100, he can do it for 1,000. If he does that for 1,000, then he can do it for 1,000,000. His blood can make 10 millions clean. His blood avails for me. I trust God will bring us to the open fountain today. I trust God will bring us to the open figure, and we'll see Christ with the nail prints. He showed to them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I heard an old preacher preaching on a subject years and years ago. and my father's church in Bellamina. The only thing marred in heaven, it was a sermon on Christ retaining his scars in yon blessed day. And I'll never look at my Savior in heaven while millions and trillions of unending ages roll by. I'll never look at Jesus, but I'll see the scars. What a privilege to kiss those scars. His hands and his feet and his side. And then I will truly say, as I could never say on a sinful earth, if ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. May God wash us in the open fountain. May God bring us to see the open figure of Christ. And may God give us today the open fire to burn us and make us silver refined and gold tried with fire. Amen and amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning, we bless thee for the fountain. Father, this morning, we bless thee for the figure. Father, this morning, we bless thee for the fire. We pray that we may leave this service with the fragrance of Christ upon us in Jesus' name. And everybody said,